Hey, Ryan.
Yes, sir?
Could you do me a small favor?
Maybe.
That thing you said about the 45 degrees, take that back.
No.
Yeah, come on.
Can't do it.
No.
Come on.
No.
What are you getting out of this?
I'm a glove salesman.
Are you? Kidding.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big one for me.
All right. All right. Then you can keep it.
Do you need everybody. Any gloves, by the way?
Yeah, I could use some gloves. Okay. Sure. Bring some gloves over. Hey, guys. It's us. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the show you've been waiting for all weekend long. It's here now. 312-981-7200 should you want to call us. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, William.
What's up? Everything good?
Everything's great. What a lovely day, huh?
Well, you know.
I'm okay with this.
It's all right. It's okay. Typical, it's got that grayish, bluish Monday look to it, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
I get you.
I need to clarify something. For people who listen to the show and you've heard me rant and rave about the Bears, on a day like yesterday into today where they've lost, I'm not happy about it. I've had friends who say, oh, you must love it when the Bears lose. I don't.
We
I
know want that. Them to,
I hope you know that. I hope people know that.
We know you're not hating on them. It's just you're not going to give them much of your time this season.
I can't. And
it's going to be a long winter.
Yeah. Don't you think? I watched little bits and pieces of the game yesterday, all told about 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And the only thing that was enjoyable was there was this shot of the very top of, I think, the Hancock. It might have been Willis Tower, but I think it was the Hancock, where there were clouds completely surrounding it.
Oh, I saw that. That was beautiful.
That was stunning. That was a work. I froze my television set and just looked at it, and I was in awe of it. That's beautiful. And it was a metaphor for the game in a weird way, because it was loneliness.
Well, it was cool when Patterson ran the ball back from...
Yeah.
That was good.
There was,
about the only thing.
That was your highlight reel. Mary just sponsored the highlight reel.
What is wrong with me? I feel so sorry for Mitch Trubisky. I said that.
Do you feel sorry for
him? I said that
to
Jim yesterday as we were watching the game. I'm like, he's not doing very well, and there was a lot of pressure put on him, and it looks like he's choking. And Jim's like, there should be pressure. He's our quarterback.
Yes. Yes.
But I feel bad for him. What's wrong with me?
Well, you hear the hometown fans booing at the end of every series of plays. There were a lot of three and outs yesterday, so you heard a lot of boos. You're also looking across the field. You're being cremated by a second-string quarterback. You're the team's number one quarterback, and you're seeing the other team's number two guy destroy you. So that's got to hurt a little bit.
Isn't there a quarterback factory that we could get someone from? Why do we always have problems? Other teams have quarterbacks. Why can't we get one here in Chicago?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to use the Green Bay Packers as an example, but in
Bite
our lifetimes, they've had
tongue.
A bunch of Hall of Fame, incredible quarterbacks, and Green Bay is right. It's right over there.
Who
it's
is
right
our best quarterback of all time?
The Chicago Bears?
Yes.
Best quarterback of all time? Well, Bob Avellini, obviously.
I think Jay Cutler is the one with all those records, which just shows you the history.
Yeah.
McMahon, for sure.
McMahon was an interesting
quarterback. He was the most successful,
yes.
But not the best.
Yes.
Right?
Agreed.
Isn't it crazy? You can be one but not the other?
Yes.
I don't know that we've ever had...
Will we?
That's a far better question. Way better than have we had a great quarterback. Will we have a great quarterback? They always flash the graphic, I'm guessing they did yesterday, of quarterbacks that were drafted after Mitch Trubisky who have done better.
Why do they do that?
Mahomes, the guy for Kansas City, is the best example. The Bears could have had him, and they opted out, and that hasn't played well.
And keep in mind, they traded up for Mitch.
Yes, they did.
They could have waited, but they traded up.
That's why I feel sorry for him. It's not his fault that they did that, and then all this pressure's on him.
But I don't know
to perform, yes, you must perform.
It's performance anxiety. But I don't know if... Dr. Ruth, I watched the game with Dr. Ruth, and she told me that's what it was. I just nodded. I just went, Dr. Ruth says it must be true. But I don't know if feeling bad for your star athlete is the best route. You know what I mean? A sports contest should have very little by way of sympathy.
I know, but I find myself feeling bad a lot here in Chicago.
Yeah.
I do.
It's a lot of disappointment, isn't there?
Still a Bears fan.
Right.
I mean, I got nothing else. I got the jersey.
Well, once you have the jersey, you're locked in. But don't you watch other games? Like every once in a while, don't you see a couple minutes of a game and you go, oh, that's how you play football? You see the open guy, you throw it to the open guy. The open guy runs and throws the ball, and everybody scores points. That's how you play the game.
You're watching the high school games
yeah.
again?
Right. Yes. Yes.
I'll keep watching.
But be honest. I know I've asked you this before. Did you get any pleasure out of the three-hour experience of the Bears game yesterday? Any?
No, just cuddling with my puppy on the couch and Jimmy Mack there. That was, you know, after the horse party
yesterday. In my head, Jimmy was the puppy you're referring to.
No.
All right.
No, Kona. And, I mean, it was nice to just hang on a Sunday afternoon and watch Bears because that's what you do.
So much nicer if the Bears showed up to the game, then you go, now we got a football game. There's two teams playing football.
The good news is, with them not being so good, I get a nap in.
No, that's true. No?
If they were really good, you'd be too amped up.
It's too exciting to stop watching.
I got a lot of sewing done. I was doing my needle pointing at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I got to take a crochet.
So was Mitch Trubisky.
No, he was crocheting, making a nice blanket for what he's going to lay on.
Can you talk about the horse party? What went on at the horse party?
My sister had her own party, and she owns a horse named Tess.
Yeah.
And she thought it would be fun to, because the weather is cooperating now and not next month when her real birthday is. Mm-hmm. She just invited friends and family, and we had food and cake that said, "May the horse be with you," which was pretty good. And
what food did you have? Horse duvers?
Very good.
Yeah, that's what I would have served.
No, we had some beef sandwiches and Italian sausage and pasta. And then we went and I sat on a horse and took a picture.
we've established on the show you have a fear of horses.
It was pretty big.
You still sat on the horse.
I did. We all did.
Was that a tense moment?
No, because, and my cousin knows this, my cousin Mary Ellen jumped on the horse, and she's older than I am, and I thought, God, if she can do it, I better do it.
Yeah.
So she inspired me.
Oh.
And there was a little ponies that the kids were doing pony rides. You had to be a little kid, though.
Yeah.
And then there were goats that we were feeding straw to, and that was really fun, and alpacas.
Yeah.
And there was a baby alpaca, and it was just a fun little day.
Were other guests encouraged to bring farm animals, or did
all there?
It was already provided.
Yeah. Oh. Over in I don't know where that is, off of LaGrange Road.
Oh yeah,
Tinley Park maybe.
Oh, that may have been the stables I took lessons at.
Oh,
when I
know. I
was
there's
a kid.
Plaque there of there's you. A, there's yes.
A plaque of a kid looking at his watch. That's my plaque. It's a kid on a horse just looking at his watch, going 41 more minutes. Oh, my God.
It was fun. The weather was perfect. It was just a nice fall activity. It was really nice.
Yeah.
We didn't do horseback riding, per se.
Was that disappointing?
No.
You hear horse party, you go, there'll be some horseback riding at this shindig.
No, it was just a two-hour window and, you know, get in, get out, and it was a lovely day. And Deep Purple, I have to tell you, was really good.
They were at the horse party, too.
They were invited. They couldn't make it because they were continuing their tour. But Ian Gillan played the part of Jesus on the album of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So they threw in a tiny bit of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh.
They did a little Zeppelin. It was really a good show, but I have to tell you, I've gotten old. It was at the Rosemont Theater, which is an awesome place to see things.
Yeah.
It was loud. I had to take Kleenex and put it in my ear. I'm getting to the point where I have to get earplugs.
Isn't
what the hell
something?
Is wrong with me?
You would assume at a rock concert, is going
to
happen, but this was too loud.
It kind of was. I don't know what's happening to me.
Were other audience members complaining about the volume or just yourself?
No, I didn't speak to really anybody else. But I will tell you this. I had two beers.
Yeah.
And in the middle of a song from a newish album that I didn't identify, I decided, you know what? I'm going to run to the bathroom.
Yes.
We were, of course, in the center of the row.
Yeah.
And there was a couple sitting at the end of the row. And as I walked by once and just kind of looked at the male and female sitting there, and I got the dirtiest look from a guy. Everyone was pretty much standing, but there were these two. There was this couple on the end. I was going through. I looked at him like, sorry. And he just gave me the dirtiest look and very reluctantly got up.
Yeah.
One time.
Didn't it's you not, at the last...
Yes, at the Who
at
Show.
At the Who Show, you had almost the same exact story happen.
Listen, I don't want to get up and go to the bathroom, but I'm old. I've had a couple beers. I got Kleenex in my ears. I have to go one time.
Shouldn't you have a card, like a business card printed up that you can present to somebody in a similar situation, just saying, everything you just said, I'm old and I need to use the restroom. Please get out of my way. No dirty looks, please.
It's not fair that I got a dirty look for one time. Now, listen, if I was going every song to
that
go get
be
beers
much.
And stumbling past him, one time.
You get one. I would give you two.
I mean, at a baseball game or a hockey game, if someone gets up one time, I mean, trust me, it's not fun.
It's uncomfortable, but you have to do it.
But one time. If it was 50 times, or let's be realistic, if I had gone four times, I could see where the guy gave me a look. Like, come on.
Not on one.
I just,
no words were exchanged?
No, but I was very, he kind of made me feel bad and ruined about 5 minutes of my night.
Oh, well. 5 minutes.
Come on. It's concert etiquette.
Yes, it should
is.
Be.
And
did they not review the rules of concert etiquette at the beginning of this show? Because you're supposed to.
And everybody was standing. They played a lot of the hits. They didn't do My Woman from Tokyo, which I really was upset about. But Hush, that's a great song. Highway Star, Space Truckin'. Everybody was standing up except for this couple.
Yeah.
I just, man. I really wasn't trying to hurt your feelings.
No,
if you're a listener, I would like to win you over. That was me. It was one time. You made me feel bad. Do I have to wear Depends to every show now?
No.
That is a great idea. We spent $50 on a concert shirt because each boy wanted one, so there's $100.
Wow.
Why don't they, instead of the logo of the band being on a t-shirt, they can have like a deep purple Depends.
Now you're thinking.
I know. Then you
they might
want
to change the color from purple to something else. That's up to them.
What a great idea. You can buy the tour Depends. And then no one has to get up and let you through.
Oh, this is a great idea.
Oh, come on.
Back with more great ideas next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy was at a horse party. Are you jealous? I am. There's a text, Wendy, having to do with hay and straw. You mentioned one, but they suggest that you might mean the other.
I gave the goats and alpacas what I said was straw, but I guess it's hay. I guess there's a difference. To me, I don't know.
I'm on your side. I don't know. I'm sure there's a difference between straw and hay, but I don't know what it is. And this is the reason my ranch closed after 3 weeks. My farm and ranch closed immediately because I don't know what the difference is.
Straw is a stalk, usually a waste product of wheat, that's used as bedding for barnyard animals.
Yeah.
Hay, typically alfalfa or grass, is used as animal feed.
Oh. You guys didn't know that?
Now, Ryan, we didn't, and we're not proud of it.
I was going to say, aren't they switching now to paper straw?
plant-based straw. I think they're using plant-based straw now.
That was so funny.
I miss the old plastic ones.
And also, in other animal news, since we are having Steve Dale on today, I found my first mouse of the season, and can't stand it.
It was in your house?
Yes.
Oh, that's never good. Is your house for sale? I would sell my house.
Yes.
I couldn't live with a mouse in the house.
It happens at this time of year because it's getting colder and they're trying to find a nice little place. And we had a mouse issue before and we used the traps because that honestly is kind of the most humane way. Mm-hmm. Don't use that glue.
The glue traps or a different kind of trap?
No, don't use that. They just imagine if there was a parking spot that you walked in with yourself, not your car, and you just stuck there till you starved. And
are they considering that? Is that an option? I hope
not. No, but that's what the glue traps do. They're stuck and then they die.
Yeah.
So the trap, if done correctly, will kill them instantly. And we did that before and we got up to like 13 mice. And then
13 in your house in 1 year?
That was a few years ago. So we had to call out the big guns.
Do you guys have doors?
No.
Maybe I would invest, it's just me, but I would invest in a door or two.
Well, we have those saloon doors.
Oh, all right, you're fine.
But it's that time that they were ripping up our street,
it messes with their home.
You know what you need, right?
A cat. I know.
And that's what Steve Dale's going to tell you.
Yesterday, I'm looking outside, and my car is parked in the driveway, and I see a cat running around one of the wheels, and I watched this for a few minutes because I've never seen that before. The cat is just
in and out.
No, it's just completely circling the wheel, And I don't understand that. Cats and I think so differently that whatever the cat is thinking, my brain just can't get its head around. So after a while, I call my wife over and I say, what would cause this? Why? And so what it was we could see after a little while, there was a mouse also circling the wheel and the cat was just chasing the mouse. It was the food chain right before our very eyes.
But wouldn't the mouse have, like, taken a right or something?
It didn't seem
like fun after a while.
I would have, if I was an advisor to the mouse, suggested a because eventually, well, you know, spoiler alert, only one of them survived. Guess
that's
which
all right.
one?
That's, you know.
It's the cat doing what the cat does.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy to see a cat. Like, I was going, what would the cat be thinking? I didn't know there was a mouse as part of the equation. Why would it do this for any length of time?
You think taking laps.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He wanted to get more miles on his
time
iPhone
trials.
App.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I would consider getting a cat because Kona has no idea there's a mouse in the house.
No interest at all?
No, but I don't think mice are afraid of dogs. Rabbits are.
Yeah.
No, they aren't even. They
no?
just rabbits come in the yard. Kona chases them. That happens every day.
Yeah.
Diane, mouse problems. Welcome to it.
Hi. My neighbor, his mother put out the glue board for the mice.
Oh.
And the grown boy came home and saw a mouse on it, and he felt sorry for it. So he took tiny little scissors and cut around the 4 feet and released it.
Wow.
So we make jokes that the other mice are like, hey, where'd you get those kicks? Because now that mouse had shoes now. So he released the mouse. He cut around the 4 feet. And we still laugh about it. That had to be 15 years ago. And I still... I think how funny that mouse must have looked. So,
I'm sure he didn't fare well because I'm sure he couldn't get away from
right.
something. That's just so such a cruel way of doing it.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay.
But thanks, Diane.
I can't live with a mouse in my house.
No.
I had trouble sleeping last night because of it.
Is it one of the... I hate to bring this up, but I'm sure you've thought of this. You hear exterminators say, if you see one, that means there's 50 more that you don't see. Is that possible?
It's probable.
Oh, no. Doors.
All right.
Trust me.
I'll have to
make
do
all
that.
The difference.
You know, we have things to give away today. We are going to share with the class, if that's how it works. We have a pair of tickets to MECOM Chicago 2019. This is going on at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center. It's the world's largest collector car auction company, and there will be 1,000 American muscle cars. Classic cars, Corvettes, trucks, hot rods, and more. They'll all be consigned for sale. You
it's
can go.
Where Ryan bought his Back to the Future car last year.
I went last year. It was pretty cool to go to it.
I love hot rods.
Yeah.
I love old cars. I love Mustangs from like 1969.
You got to go to this.
It's really cool. You can go to MECUM.com for details. MECUM.com. It's running through October 24th through the 26th, so that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
We have a pair of tickets to give away.
Let's give them away.
Would we like to do it?
Let's give it away right now.
What caller number, people?
Caller three.
Third caller, 312-981-7200.
Because there were three Back to the Future movies. I'm thinking of Ryan's Back to the Future car that he bought there last year.
Great Scott's.
Yep.
Was that car out there?
I did not see that one, no. The way it works is the first 2 days are kind of that's where you're going to find the deals. When you get into Saturday and Sunday, that's when the TVs, cameras are on it. Those are your fun cars. Those are the very expensive ones, yeah.
Right.
I wonder if the Batmobile will be
maybe.
The Munster car.
A lot, yeah. Those
Christine.
They always seem to travel as a group, every one of the cars you just mentioned. Sometimes the Monkey Mobile is also in there.
I saw a limousine go for $25,000 last year.
Oh, wow.
And I was starting to think to myself, how much would you have to work to make that pay for itself?
That's not that much.
No, I would think that'd be a good deal.
Should have bought that one, Ryan, instead of the Back to the Future.
All right,
how am I going to sell my gloves then?
Roy has called us. He was the third caller, 312-981-7200. Roy from Crystal Lake will be going to the MECOM Chicago 2019, happening this upcoming weekend, October 24th through the 26th, Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center. Go see some hot rods. If you didn't win tickets, MECUM.com for more details or tickets, MECUM.com for details. And more tickets coming your way
for the Blackhawks.
Yes, because we're in a giving mood. It's Giving Monday.
Thank you, Ryan. Don't forget, later on in the show, Blackhawks tickets can be yours. We'll give you more details later. And noted pet expert Steve Dale can also be yours.
I don't think that's how that works.
No, I read that wrong. Wendy, Halloween is fast approaching, and a lot of people are still in a quandary as to what exactly they should dress up as for Halloween. I have here a bunch of Halloween ideas, but let's do it in game show form. I will tell you what the person is wearing. See if you can figure out what the costume is.
That sounds like fun.
That is fun. All right, so here's a costume, and it consists of you or somebody like you holding on to an easel, a paint easel, with various colors of paint.
Bob Ross.
And then, no. And then wearing a t-shirt that has two giant plugs on it. What would you be if you were carrying an easel with paint and then a t-shirt that had two kind of the outlets for plugs? You know? What would that be?
Electric.
Now, I am going to warn you, most of these are stupid. All right, so you have to think stupidly.
All right, that won't be too hard for me today. Right. So, electric, paint, plug and play, plug if any listeners know, they can jump in. 312-981-7200.
It's an easel with paint, and some paint brushes.
An easel or one of those round things that an artist holds?
Is that an easel? I can't tell the difference between straw and hay.
Bean?
So, yeah.
All right, so that's a palette.
A palette. Does that help more?
No.
All right, so it's a palette of paint and then a t-shirt with two kind of, you know, the plugs or the outlets like that.
I have no idea.
Creative outlet. I'm telling you.
I'm going home.
Most of these are stupid. You're going to get this one. You're wearing a Rawlings baseball glove, and inside the glove, you have a loaf of rye bread. What are you?
Mitt.
Keep going.
Rye bread.
Mitt rye bread. The worst selling Halloween costume of 2019, Mitt rye bread.
wasn't he a presidential...
Yeah, he ran for president.
Glove.
Think the literary world.
I'm bad at these.
It is a Rawlings baseball glove, and inside the glove, you're holding...
Rye bread.
Yeah.
Catcher in the rye.
Catcher in the rye. Although that one should be rye in the catcher, realistically.
Yeah, that's a bad... Right? That's a problem.
That's a problem. All right, here's a guy. He's got on horns, a pitchfork, and a long red tail, and he is wearing a t-shirt that has an egg on it.
Deviled egg.
Deviled egg.
I was that one year.
Mary was this one year, mm-hmm. Wendy.
I was.
Did you win? Did you win the pageant?
I don't remember.
The Halloween costume pageant?
I don't think so. Right, but it's super easy to do.
I should have guessed that. That
shirt with a big egg on it. And I put devil's ears on my head and I had a spear thing, you know?
That's a costume.
Yeah, it's super easy.
I just thought of a costume.
What is it?
My son Michael has a gig that night and he's looking for a costume. And I just thought of something. He could have a devil costume on, but also be wearing a blue dress, devil with a blue dress on.
Yeah.
It's not any worse than the deviled egg.
Right on par with the deviled egg.
Devil with a blue dress on.
Yeah.
All right. I'm writing that down.
Will kids his age get that reference, though? I'm not positive they will. I mean, I'm not trying to talk them out of it, but I'm not positive they'll get the reference. Maybe.
It's a catcher in the rye. Everyone had to read that book at school, but it's still off by...
Yeah, I know. I was going to say this one's ridiculous. They're all ridiculous. This is a guy who has a giant... around his neck... He has a giant magnet, and then he has baby chickens glued to the magnet.
Oh, I know this one, too.
Mary, go ahead.
It's a chick magnet.
Yeah, it's a chick magnet.
Yeah.
God, Mary, I'm embarrassed that you know these.
Because I've done a few of them for Halloween. I'm trying to think of my other ones I did. I can't remember.
I was a serial killer one year, and I had a box of cereal with a knife, and I just kept stabbing it, and I had blood all over me. And blood on the cereal box.
I like that you kept stabbing it.
Well, it was one of those retractable knives.
Oh,
and
then
it was
you have to.
Yeah.
That's even better. All right, here's a guy. He is playing a saxophone, and his body... is completely covered in gold paint. This is
awful. Gold man Sachs.
I'm so proud of you, but this, how awful. How desperate is that?
You know how there are dad jokes? Are these dad costumes?
These are Halloween costumes that only your dad would find amusing. Only. Tell me about this one. Why would you even include this in the list? It's a woman who's wearing a Dunkin'. She's wearing a donut and holding boxes that say Dunkin', and she's Dunkin' Donuts. Can it get any easier than that? That's so...
No, what you should do, and I can lend it to you, I have a Duncan Keith Hawks jersey, so we're Duncan and then carry donuts.
Eating a donut or carrying donuts.
Yeah.
That's so much better.
You just picked out my costume for this year. That will be easy.
That's so much better. All right, this one's sort of challenging. This, of the ones we've done, this is the most interesting one to me. It's simply a T-shirt, and on the T-shirt, it's a black T-shirt, and in white letters, it says, "Let's go ceilings." What would that be?
Let's go
ceilings! Exclamation point.
Ceilings like up above?
Yeah. This is the simplest, yet to me, so of the ones we've done so far, this is the only one that I find even remotely amusing.
Ceiling fan.
Yes. Yes.
All right, I'm proud of myself. That's kind of good. Let's go, ceilings!
Here's a guy who's wearing a bunch of giant grapes. He looks like he's right in the middle of...
The Fruit of the Loom commercial?
Yeah, he looks like that guy, but he's also... his face looks sad. I'm so embarrassed to even tell you what this one is. I'm embarrassed for every one of them, but this one in particular makes me super embarrassed. He's right in the middle of a large bunch of grapes, and on his face you can see sadness. What is he?
Something bunch.
Oh, sour grapes.
No. Oh, Mary, that's good. Better than the real answer.
Oh, that's not it?
No, it's not it.
Crushed grapes?
But that's better too. This is so...
Sad grapes?
No. No. We should lose our FCC license.
Grapes of Wrath.
No. Although every one of these makes sense and is better than the actual answer.
It's not Fruit of the Loom related, is it?
Nope, okay. It is not.
Should we take a break?
You want to? Yeah.
Suspense? All right. I got to think about this.
See if somebody can guess it.
Describe it again.
All right. It is a guy who is, he looks to be right in the middle of a bunch of grapes. He's got these giant grapes pasted all over himself. That part of it looks great. And then on his face, he has kind of a scowl. He looks very sad. What is his costume? What is his Halloween costume? 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. We are doing something that is silly.
We're disappointing our fans. Trust me. When you hear this answer, you will be... The word disappointment doesn't even begin to sell this. We're trying to figure out what some of these Halloween costumes are. This is from an article that tells you creative Halloween costumes for 2019. And here's what you got. You got a guy who's right in the middle of a bunch of grapes. That's what, if you get a grouping of grapes, that's the correct terminology, right?
Yeah.
A bunch, yeah? So he's right in the middle of it. His head has kind of a grape surrounding it. And then on his body, he's got about 15 or 20 grapes on his shoulders, on his chest, all over himself. And then facially, he looks very sad. So what would his Halloween costume be?
We've guessed so many, and none of them are right.
They're all better than the actual answer, every guess.
Eric would like to take a stab at it.
Eric, what could it be?
I was going to say red wine vinegar.
No, it's not red wine vinegar. Again, better than the actual answer, though.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
So many people have texted in saying it's got to be some variation on sour grapes. It is not. 815 says purple people eater. Two different people say it's got to be envy. It is not envy. Somebody said, what's eating Gilbert grape?
Oh.
Fantastic guess.
But it wouldn't fit this particular costume.
No. Nope.
All right, what is it?
The Grape Depression.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The worst.
It's beyond awful.
All right, Nancy.
You would get kicked out of a Halloween party if you did that.
Yeah, that's
they would kick you out.
That's not even funny,
nope.
Good, it's or creative.
It's upsetting.
Hi, Nancy. You had a creative costume?
Yes, I was an elementary teacher for many years, and the kids waited every year anxiously to see what their teachers were going to dress up as, and I was always a pun. And my favorite one was my son had just graduated high school, so I had his cap and gown, and I took a piece of white poster paper or poster board and marked off, you know, 50 milliliters, 100 milliliters, various millimeter or milliliter marks, wrapped it around myself, and I was a graduated cylinder.
Oh, that's not bad. Nicely done.
I love that.
Did people guess it right away, or did it take some time?
The kids got it right away because we use it in science every day. But when we did the parade for parents, I always had the answer hanging on my back. And so the parents, I could hear them making guesses as I approached, and then they got a kick out of it as well. One year I had a gorilla suit and carried clay pots and gardening tools, and I was Harry Potter, H-A-I-R-Y. So we had great fun with it.
That's great. What a good teacher you are, Nancy.
Thanks.
Thanks, right. Nancy. Nancy should have written this article because her ideas are way better than the ones they're providing.
All right. Well, Casey has an idea. Hi, Casey.
Hi. A couple years ago, I was invited to a party, and I went in my regular street clothes, but I made a sandwich board, you know, with the front and back little A-frame thing, and it said nudist on strike.
Very funny.
All right. That's pretty good, too, Casey. Thank you.
Thanks, Casey.
Yours stink.
These are all... I know.
We have one more creative costume. Is this Susie?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
One year we went to a Halloween party and I got a box and painted it like a red brick. And my husband was dressed in a painter's outfit with the trowel. So he was the brick layer and I was the brick.
Very nice. Racy, but nice.
Yes, that is a little
very
crazy.
Racy.
You know, you had to come up with something creative, so that's what we did.
I like it. All right, thank you, Susie. Do you have more of these ideas?
They're beyond fantastic, Wendy. This is a guy who's got, on his chest and on his back, is a circle that is tan, and then there's little dots, brown dots, all over it. So you got a giant circle on his chest, a giant circle on his back, and little brown dots all over those giant tan circles. He's also wearing thick glasses and like a graduation mortarboard, you know?
Groucho Marx.
No.
What?
Why? No. Yeah. No part of that
Marx on his back.
No. No.
You said, like,
no.
Glasses.
You should have to wear that Grape Depression costume now, just for saying that. No.
My guess was as stupid as these things are.
No, right. That's true. So what is it? A giant tan circle on his front with little brown circles inside it and on his back, and then also thick glasses and a mortarboard graduation hat. What is he?
Chocolate chip cookie.
You're close. You're very close.
The Nutty Professor.
again,
the Cookie Professor.
So much better than the actual answer.
Oh, I don't know.
Keep in mind, he has just graduated, and he's got the stereotypical thick glasses. That'll help the most.
Dorky Cookie?
You're right. You're halfway there.
Professor Dunking in an Oreo?
No.
Oh. What did you say? Donkey and
donkey.
An Oreo?
Like dunking
not a donkey.
An Oreo, like dorky.
What are we establishing by the fact that he's graduated?
Chocolate chip with nuts.
And no, no. He's got those thick glasses on which indicate what?
That he's smart.
Yes.
Smart cookie.
Yeah, now we got it. Now
dumb.
We got it. All right.
Smart cookie, dumb costume.
Oh, you want dumb? Listen to this one.
All right.
Here's a kid, and he's dressed like Harry Potter, and he's carrying a specific brand of those energy bars, you know, that you would eat before a workout session.
Yeah.
So, this is so awful. This is so awful. So you got Harry Potter, but he's carrying those energy bars.
Professor Plum.
Yep. Very good. I should just every one of them, whatever your guess is, I should just say yes so that anyone listening just goes, wait, huh? I don't get that at all.
All right.
Please don't work too hard on this because it's not worth it.
Again, describe it. Mary, come on. I need your help.
He's dressed like Harry Potter, and in each hand he has a specific brand of energy bar.
Wizard.
No.
Oh, man. That, ugh.
Don't, no.
It's got to be something related.
Don't strain, Mary.
Harry something.
Kind of.
Harry.
Who plays Harry Potter?
I don't know. I forgot his name.
I've never seen him.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes,
Daniel.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Okay,
so,
Daniel.
Cliff Bar.
Oh, Cliff Bar. Dan.
So put it all together.
Daniel Radcliffe Bar.
That's it.
What?
That's it.
What?
What?
I'm just reporting it. I know.
This is unacceptable.
I know. All right. Here's a costume for a pet. I should have saved this one for Steve Dale, except he'd get sick to his stomach when he heard these clues. It's a picture. Oh, God. It's a dog, but he's got flames all over him.
Hot dog.
Yeah, he's a hot dog.
That one's cute.
Good job.
Here's a guy who's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and sandals and a Hawaiian vacation hat, and he also has boxing gloves on.
Knockout.
I'm so
delay involved.
Everyone, no.
Oh, thank you.
Although,
goodness.
Mary, it would have enhanced the costume. It would have made it even better.
Okay.
It should have been. It could have been.
Something tourist.
It pains me to announce these.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. So what is
Hawaiian punch?
Oh, I like that one.
Really?
Yes.
Really? All right. If you want more of these, you can't have them. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. Noted pet expert Steve Dale will be joining us soon also.
And news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Of all the noted pet experts in the whole wide world, one stands head and shoulders above the rest. He couldn't be here today, but Steve Dale is here. Hello, Steve.
I thought I was the only noted pet expert.
How are you?
I'm the only one on Instagram anyway.
Is that true?
Uh-huh. You created it.
Congratulations for that distinction.
Well, no, you're the one who have you bestowed the title upon me in the formal ceremony that we had.
We had a big ceremony. Uh-huh. Yep,
and,
I remember.
And now I'm good, bad, or otherwise, it's mine.
Steve, we've got a bunch of texts from people who want to know if there's any good documentaries about giraffes. Are there?
It stands head and shoulders above all the others, yes. No, it's amazing. So this woman who I did not know of, her name is Anne Dang, actually was out there studying animals in Africa, in this case, before Jane Goodall.
Really?
And the powerful part about this, she's a woman.
Yeah.
And nobody did that. No women did that.
So how soon before Jane Goodall? Because I always think of her as being such a pioneer.
She was.
Yeah.
Jane Goodall's absolutely a pioneer.
And Diane Fossey also.
Yes. That was the gorilla lady. And Birute Geldikas, your favorite.
Birute Geldikas, of course.
Orangutans.
Yeah.
Those were the three that Louis Leakey, the famed archaeologist back in the day, said, we need you. And you know why he chose? This is actually... to me, really interesting. You know, we'll find out if it is to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know why he chose women? It was because
we're nicer.
No. He two reasons for it. He thought that a guy would go out there, publish the material, go on tour, go back to the lecture room, and then do something else, go back out into the field to study something else, and wouldn't be as committed to whatever animal it is that he is studying.
Oh.
It would be about, in part, making a buck.
Yeah.
And it would be, in part, about, okay, I did this, now I want to do this.
Yeah.
He thought that women would be more observant.
And, probably true.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not
and more committed, probably.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. More committed to do it.
Yeah.
And it turned out he was right, because these women are the ones that are alive, which, you know, Jane Goodall is, and Diane Fossey
We lost Baruchus Gildikas.
No, so. She's here.
She's here. We just can't find her.
I know where to find her. It's on a podcast I did at WGNradio.com. Steve Dale's Other World, and you can look for the conversation that I had with this orangutan lady. This has nothing to do with giraffes.
Yeah.
So this woman was out there before Jane Goodall researching giraffes, and she was absolutely a pioneer in her field. She studied the giraffes when no women were out there.
What did she learn about giraffes that we didn't know previously?
That when two males kind of are sparring with one another, it can possibly be behavior that was surprising to talk about.
Oh.
back in that day with two males of a certain species.
Yeah.
That's one thing that she learned.
Yeah.
But
wait, what way? What do you mean?
You're not going to let me slide over that, are
no,
you?
No, I'm
what, that they were...
homosexual giraffes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And lots of species we now know today.
Yeah.
Actually... That occurs.
Yeah.
So they'd be fighting, and then they would just
but they weren't
start.
Really
then they'd cuddle. Then they'd spoon.
They would cuddle after they would
well,
fight.
Well, I don't know about that, but they were.
That's a giant spoon, too, because they're
necking.
Giraffes.
All right. In a big way.
I think, you know, the urge to do it with an animal, and I am not an animal specialist.
Wherever the sentence
no,
ends.
No, no, no. No, no, not me. Not right. People, but animals who just want to, you know, get her done.
Yeah.
I don't think they care if it's a male or female. I
oh,
just think
Steve,
it's,
is that true?
Sometimes yeah. That is yeah. True. But this is not at all where I was
no.
Going with this.
So necking. I love
she was
that.
I came with the kit.
How does he come up with these? Anyway.
Because he's Bill Leff.
I know. I know. And there's only one.
Giraffe comedian.
Right. Right. Right.
So it wasn't only what she learned about giraffes. It was she goes back. She's from Canada. She goes back to Canada and publishes all this stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of papers, prestigious journals, and she cannot get a full professorship.
Oh, why? Because she's a woman.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was this?
This was not by now in the 1960s into the early 70s.
That's very disappointing to hear.
Well, you know, so then she became a women's rights activist.
Yeah.
Particularly in the academic world, but just in general, and was quite effective in that area. Then was kind of forgotten about. She wasn't a researcher, raised
uh-huh.
kids.
Uh-huh.
And then, because she wrote the book, which you, I'm sure you have,
yeah.
on giraffe
yep.
behavior.
Yep.
She wrote the book on it. She was rediscovered
yeah.
by zoologists and others today. So I'm watching this movie, a documentary about her called The Woman Who Loves Giraffes. And then appearing on the screen is a friend of mine who's an animal behaviorist who actually is also a dog trainer.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing there? But she also works to advise on giraffes, which is an expertise
oh, wow.
of hers. So she's in the movie, but she helped to bring this woman back into the fold, if you will.
Yeah.
And now she's appearing at conferences and such all over the world.
If people want to see The Woman Who Loves Giraffes, where would you see
it
this?
It was at the Gene Siskel Theater.
Oh, cool.
But I think... it isn't anymore. So you'd have to kind of Google that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Eventually,
but it's out there somewhere. It'll
eventually
be on DVD.
It'll will be on Netflix and Amazon.
All right. Well, that's I'm exciting. Sure. That's great. But this isn't the reason you stopped by.
No.
No.
No. Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah. So I heard you talking about costumes. So what do you think the most popular costume is for a pet to wear?
A pirate?
I have the top five in front of me.
Uh-huh.
Pirate is not among
oh,
them.
Oh, man.
A round orange thing.
The president? No. No. A tangerine?
Annoying orange? Are you proud
How
of yourself?
How does he do this?
Annoying orange.
I feel like I'm here to give straight lines, which is not a bad thing.
No. What is it?
Pumpkin.
Oh, a pumpkin,
oh,
of course.
Yeah,
number two
it.
Is a hot dog. Three is a superhero of your choice.
So a dog, like Crypto the dog from Superman or...
No, just
a super...
Like Batman,
Superman,
but a dog.
Right, right. Bumblebee is next, and the fifth most popular, which I've not seen a lot of personally, it's a dog dressed as a cat.
I was actually going to guess that because
really?
It's kind of, you know, an oxymoron.
It shocked you.
I've asked you this before, and I already know your answer, but I love hearing you describe and explain it. Do pets like to dress up in costumes for Halloween, Steve Dale?
Often, no. Often. I'm saying no.
Well, it depends. So there are some...
On what?
Whether or not they let you put it on
right.
them.
Because I bet
yes.
there's some resistance
there
with
some.
Pets, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So dogs and cats are in two different categories. Most cats don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Some cats and a surprising number of dogs actually, okay, you can do it to me, but I'm getting attention from you. I'm getting, especially from kids. So when little kids are really bonded to dogs, they love being doted on by those little kids,
mm-hmm.
those little girls that dress up dogs, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs actually sometimes say, this is fun. There are dogs that look humiliated. I believe that is because they truly are humiliated.
Would you agree the simpler the better? That you don't want to go too elaborate on a pet, right?
Yeah, never anything, by the way, on the face, no mask for pets. That's not a good idea. Yes, for dogs that don't really care for it, here are some ways to cheat. And you can still dress your dog up and your dog won't care.
Can we break first and then you'll tell us?
This is the best tease ever.
Ah, it is. All right, noted pet expert Steve Dales here. We're 312-981-7200 if you want to call or text Bill and Wendy WGN.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. Oh, the animals. I get it.
The animals.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Yes.
What you left us in suspense, didn't you?
Yeah, about the Halloween costumes.
What?
Didn't you say he was going to say something?
It was the best piece ever.
Yeah. What
and we it? All forgot it?
Yes.
It was so good. It teased us.
Was that I gave the list of but I will say this. So dressing up for Halloween.
I don't remember it, Bill. And I was listening.
Yeah. I don't either. Was... We'll have to go back and listen to the tape. Dressing up for Halloween like 10 years ago, nobody even for pets.
Right.
Nobody even talked about. Today, about 20% of dogs dress up for Halloween.
That can't be true, can it?
Yeah.
1 in 5 dogs is wearing a Halloween costume.
That's and if it doesn't sound like a lot to you, it apparently does sound like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about them, there are about 60 million plus dogs in America. I can't do that math really fast, but we're talking millions of dogs and therefore millions of dollars. Indeed, $500 million is spent on pet costumes.
Get lives, people. Me included.
No, I think it's great. I think it's fun.
And
you know?
it only goes as deep as...
Oh, I know what I was going to do.
What were you going to do, Steve?
The secret.
Oh, yeah, the
It'll
secret.
It'll be out. All right. So if your dog really doesn't like wearing... a costume.
Yes.
For Halloween.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Put a bandana on its neck.
Is that it? Is that true?
With ghosts and bats or some Halloween
or
fabric.
Or a Blackhawk bandana.
Yeah.
That's even better.
That could be year-round.
You know, yes. And most dogs don't care about that. You know, they don't even notice. Another possibility are bat ears, because, again, they're so light that a lot of pets don't know
that they have them on.
Would a dog rather dress like a celebrity dog, like Scooby-Doo or Snoopy, or would a dog rather dress up like a different species, like a cat? What do you think?
I would go for the celebrity dog.
I would imagine, right?
All right, but now do people bring their dogs trick-or-treating? Because there are a lot of kids, they could get trampled, somebody might drop some chocolate and they pick it up, and then if you don't bring them, the doorbell's going off like crazy.
Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, do you bring your dog trick-or-treating with you? And more people are doing that. Some dogs really... don't enjoy that. There's just too much commotion. There are too many people around.
Sure.
They're not good with kids. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you do it, and there are dogs that have the temperament where it's just fine, but you're right. You don't want them picking up extra candy along the way. In addition to that, things are thrown oftentimes in a bag that aren't wrapped or packaged. I would advise people to have the same care about dog treats not being wrapped or packaged as you would for human treats not being wrapped or packaged. So if that bothers you and you don't want your kids having, say, an apple that isn't pre-wrapped or something like that, I would not give the dog the dog biscuit in there.
Yeah.
And definitely don't give the dog everything at once, because they'll get an upset stomach.
How long does it take an animal to realize, and I always wonder this, especially at 4th of July and Halloween when the rules of life are so different for a day, does a dog get it the next day that that was just one day, or does a dog go, oh, that's the way life is from now on, the doorbell's going to keep ringing?
That's a great question, Bill.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Dogs think more from day to day and in the moment, so it's not that they don't remember things. They do, in fact, remember things. But
they don't have reasoning like we do. Right. Like, it was loud today, so I bet it's going to be like that tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if you go a certain number of days in a row, then it becomes the new norm for that animal, but not one day. You know.
Yeah.
But a lot of dogs are anxious about it. So what happens when the doorbell rings and rings and rings and rings and rings and rings? You know, and you have a dog that isn't happy about that, or a cat that gets terrified. The cat's hiding under the sofa. So I tell people to find a safe room for the pet away from the door. And the other reason why we want, or I want, the animals potentially away from the door, it's one of the days in the year where pets are most often lost.
Escape.
Mm-hmm.
Because the door's open so much of the time.
Yeah. Right. So I say put those dogs into a safe room, if you will. You know,
music on.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the TV.
Yes! No!
Why? When we
radio
leave,
on.
We leave, well, to WGN,
of course. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we leave, we don't like to leave Cone in the crate. He's crate trained for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we go out, he still chews things because he's not quite two. And we leave the TV on just so there's some noise.
Actually, that can be helpful. Yeah. And a study that was done.
He likes Dean Richards. He watches Dean every morning.
Well, I get it. That makes sense.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A study was done to indicate that dogs like, and cats, are actually calmed by classical music. I mean, when I heard about this years ago, I thought, come on, really?
Yeah.
No. But now, actually, studies, plural, have verified that. The other kind of music that seems to relax dogs, according to one study, reggae music.
I believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because of the rhythm of it?
I don't know
what it is?
Honest to goodness, a study. I guess this gives a whole new meaning to Marley and me, but it's true.
Did you just say that so you could set yourself up?
No.
Because it was good.
Sure, the study is true.
The beat on a reggae song is that of a human's resting heartbeat, that same rhythm.
Really?
So perhaps that has something to do with it. Plus, it is just very chill. And if they smoke a big fat Milk-Bone Dube, they can chill out. Which will soon be legal. For dogs, too. I've seen so many CBD things for dogs.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I would check with your vet to find out.
Yes.
Because I do have an anxious dog.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've thought about it, but that's something you should ask your vet before just giving it to them.
Totally agree with you. So one of the questions I get most often, particularly concerning Halloween, is should I give a CBD treat to my dog?
What's your answer
sometimes
to that?
Cat, to minimize anxiety. My answer is I have no clue.
Yeah.
Because not enough studies have been done. I'm going to a conference about this very issue, about CBD for pets, in about a month in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to come back, apparently, with some
All right, we'll
CBD.
Give us some information.
I'll be in Ottawa, where it's legal. But yeah, I want to learn about it.
Doggy drug dealer. He's going to change from noted pet
pet expert slash drug dealer.
No. But we do need to learn. I mean, you know, they're also, I mean, is it good for pain?
Yeah.
Is it good for minimizing seizures?
I bet it is, but they need to do.
Yes, we need to do some studies. Anecdotally, the answer is yeah, maybe.
Steve, you know, for years I had a pet gibbon named Peanut.
Yes, of course.
Never
you know what we
old.
Used to dress Peanut up like every year?
A person?
Well, like a peanut, except one year he wanted to be General Eisenhower, so we dressed him up like General Eisenhower one year. Yeah.
How did that go?
It was fine.
Was he a good general?
Yeah, he was a great general. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he have a monocle like Mr. Peanut? Because that would be funny.
I never thought of that.
That would be good.
When can we hear you next?
You can hear me next this coming Sunday morning at 6:35.
The Lutheran hour.
No.
What show do you do? I thought you were on the Lutheran hour.
And where do people find you website-wise?
If I still have a job after this, stevedale.tv.
Thank you, Noted Pet Expert
Thank
Steve
you.
Dale.
Thank
That's
you,
Noted
Steve.
Pet Expert Steve Dale. We'll take a break.
Watch
we'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Before we sing the praises, may I congratulate someone?
Please.
Bob. We sing the praises of Bob from Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake. He is going to see the Blackhawks Thursday night as they go against the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, they're going to destroy the Flyers, Wendy.
They are. I mean,
Not
it's going to happen.
Bob.
This is thanks
Eric,
to Four Seasons. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. And keep listening. More chances to win tickets from Four Seasons today with John Williams and Ro Concho with Anna DeBlantis.
Excellent. Eric Zorn is here of the Tribune fame. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, hi. Nice
Great to see you.
It's a really windy day out there. We've been watching the waves.
The waves are insane today.
It's like a Dino De Laurentiis movie out there.
Yes, it does. Wow, deep reference from the 1970s. Yeah. Nicely played, Eric. Wendy and I have been watching it all day.
I haven't seen them this big before.
Those are some serious waves.
Looks like the ocean.
Yeah. Yep. Are we safe, Eric? What do you think?
I think we're safe up here.
Yeah? All right. I hope you're right.
Very choppy.
I got to walk back to my office after this.
If the water does come up as high as where we are right now, there's reason to panic.
Yeah, I think so.
That would be awful. Let's talk about this interesting law in California. Take it away. I know you're up on it a little bit. It has to do with shampoo.
Little hotel shampoo bottles.
Which aren't big enough to begin with.
Right.
Oh, now we've got a fight going on our hands here. But the California legislature recently signed it. Is October 9th, actually, the governor out there signed into law a ban on those little bottles of shampoo, shower gel, conditioner, lotion, the kind that you get in your hotels. They're going to ban those. They're giving the hotels a couple of years. The big hotels have to have it done by January 1st, 2023, and then the little places get until 2024.
So Motel 6.
It's a long... Yeah. Well, it's a number of 50 rooms is the threshold. Oh. So the mom and pop operations get a chance to adjust. But basically, it's an environmentally friendly idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Marriott,
the plastics, they're concerned with the plastics.
They're not concerned with theft. I don't.
No.
Although everybody takes them.
But I mean, I take them because. You use a little bit of shampoo out of them. You say they're not.
I use the whole thing.
But they're sort of there to be taken, right?
Put in your little dop kit.
Right. Well, and of course, ever since they've been searching you at TSA for anything with liquids over 3 ounces, or 3.5 ounces. So that it's actually handy to have a little supply of those so that you can pack some shampoo if you're going on a trip where you're not staying at a hotel. But
it's just one of those things, you know, you get, if you're staying in a hotel, you know, you get to keep it like the robe and the TV. You just get
to take the towels.
Right. Yeah. Those are yours.
Marriott is already said they're going to phase these out by December of 2020. And they said that they use 500 million bottles of
this a year
in their various
Hotels. Just in California, that's worldwide.
No, this is worldwide. Yeah. Worldwide. Holiday Inn is getting rid of them by 2021. Disney is also at their cruise ships and at their resorts is getting rid of these. And this is an environmentally friendly thing. It's a little bit like getting rid of plastic straws.
Right.
In that, even though it sounds like a lot. I guess it's like 1.7 million pounds.
But doesn't it just mean that whoever's staying in the hotel will have to bring in some sort of shampoo and conditioner on our own?
What they're going to have are these things, and you may have seen
dispensers?
Them. They have them now at like Spring Hill Suites, Marriott Spring Hill Suites. It's like it's affixed to the wall of the shower. It's like a dispenser where you
soap dispenser in the bathroom.
That's not terrible.
And, it's kind of nice because then if you're Wendy and you have all this luxurious hair.
Yeah.
I bring my own shampoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I use purple shampoo.
But you don't have to anymore.
Right.
Well, I use purple shampoo so my blonde isn't so brassy.
Oh.
I wondered about that.
Yeah. Now we know.
Little beauty secrets here. So it seems like a good idea, actually, to do this, to reduce the use of plastic. It's the end of an era, though, right, where you go away from the hotel with a bunch of little bottles of shampoo.
Right.
And shower gel.
Souvenir.
And sometimes I even take the conditioner, even though I don't really use the conditioner now. But
you're rebellious.
It's curious, though, that you have all these various little ointments and lotions, but that you have to ask for toothpaste.
Well, you should bring your own toothpaste.
You should bring your own shampoo. By that token, right?
Okay, I have never gotten toothpaste or asked for toothpaste at a hotel ever.
Well, I have because I've forgotten it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they'll even give you a toothbrush. Like if you forgot your toothbrush, they'll give you a toothbrush.
Why don't you just go to the gift shop and buy it? What are you asking for it for?
Just say I forgot it. I'm in an emergency.
You go to buy one.
I don't want to go to Wendy's hotel.
go to the Surly Hotel.
Go to the front desk.
I forgot underpants. Do you have any? Right. I mean, you just, if you forget it, you go buy it.
I'd like an extra towel, please. Can you just drip dry? What's wrong with you? How busy are you?
Stop bothering us.
You need another pillow? Come on. Pillows aren't good for your neck. Get out of here.
I need some radial tires. We got them. Come on
now.
Don't
come back. They're having these dispensers on the walls, which is supposed to save, One article I read said they're going to save something like $30 million a year.
Oh, really?
Oh, I believe that.
That's fantastic.
Well, you think about these little bottles, and they got. I'm sure they're not very expensive, but
right.
You're talking about that kind
of
volume.
It adds up.
And again, all this plastic that's not going into the landfill. Now, there are, of course, some environmental people who are applauding this.
Yeah.
And there are others who say that this is just like performative environmental.
Who says that?
Well, there's a guy at MIT who has an online. I'll send a link to Jasmine. Right. She can put it on your page, where he basically says this is sort of like performative environmentalism. It's not really that big a deal.
Those numbers indicate otherwise.
But I have a different thought on that.
All right, don't say what it is yet.
Oh, come on.
More with Eric Zorn in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune talking about a new law in California that will ban those little bottles of shampoo and conditioner that you get in hotels. Most of the texters are on board with this 100%. There's a couple of every once in a while who aren't. For instance, here's one from 773. Caution, that wall dispenser will leave soap on the shower or tub floor. It's very slippery. I almost broke my neck at a hotel. That could also happen from the little bottles. You could spill a little extra on the floor. I guess they're more susceptible if you're pushing it out of a dispenser, right?
I would guess, although...
It's the conditioner that makes it slippery.
Yeah.
But wouldn't the housekeeping staff... You'd have. I mean, unless you're slipping on your own shampoo, right?
Right.
The housekeeping staff, I think...
I'll clean it out.
Would handle, the interesting point about this is I understand that this is actually, given the way we use plastic in this society, that this is, that by volume... We're talking about, you know, this thing that, like in Marietta says that they're going to save 1.7 million pounds of plastic. But actually, given the scope of the plastic problem, it's relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's value to something like this just in getting people to kind of think about. When every time you use one of these little hotel dispensers on the wall, that you're going to think a little bit more about your use of plastics and getting you to think more about reusing things.
Right.
It's a little bit like the plastic bags and the paper bags and so on. That you know, I mean, a lot is made out of the use of plastic bags. And of course, in Chicago, we have to pay extra for the bags and so on. And I think that the value in that is not really so much the savings of the environmental impact of the bags, because those bags are flimsy and they don't really, in terms of, you can do all kinds of studies about paper bags, plastic bags, mm-hmm. and how they're manufactured and transported and everything. But there is, I think every time you use a reusable bag, there's some little light that goes off over your head about, you know, things like just not wasting energy, for instance. One of the points this guy made in this column I was talking about, pointing out that this is sort of performative environmentalism, is that hotels could really save a lot more energy, have a lot bigger impact on the environment if they did things like charge people extra for washing their towels every day, if they do that, or they could, like, keep the during the summer, keep the temperature at 75 degrees instead of 72.
That's too hot.
Well, okay.
But you know what?
Things like that. But
don't you fear the same thing I fear, in that airlines started doing that a couple years ago, where they would find, oh, we'll charge a little extra for this, we'll charge a little extra for that. You want an end seat? That'll cost you a little extra. You want this? That'll cost you extra. It's horrible. I don't want hotels to do the same thing that the airlines have done.
It is, and that's why you would hope that they're going to keep it to in the environmental impact and not think, well, you know, we could charge you a little extra for a TV or the use of. Do they still charge for the use of the phone? I don't even know how many years since you've used a phone in a hotel.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, just call the front desk and ask for toothpaste.
Yeah, they're not going to give it to you. You have to pay extra for an aisle seat on a plane.
You have the option on some flights, if you want an aisle seat, you pay a little extra for it.
And certainly the exit row seats with the extra leg room and so on. And of course, Spirit Airlines will charge you for water, I think. Right. I mean, they charge you for everything.
Isn't it funny when you pass a hotel now and on their attraction board, on their sign, it says free HBO? Like, that's like, imagine that.
Remember that? I still remember the days when movie theaters would say air conditioning.
Yeah.
Hot tubs.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking.
So it's an interesting development. I think they introduced a bill like this in New York State, and I hope that somebody introduces a bill like this in Illinois. I think it's basically a good idea.
It is a good idea, isn't it?
And you know, we'll have to say goodbye to this tradition of stuffing our suitcases
with little bottles of Clairol.
The TV will fit more easily now.
Yes, it'll have more room for the TV. Absolutely. Can we talk about Eddie Johnson for a little bit?
Let's
good with that?
Yeah, no, let's talk a little bit about that. It's very interesting. The other, it was. really late Wednesday night, really early Thursday morning, Chicago police were called, emergency personnel were called to a place right near the 3400 block of South Aberdeen, and Superintendent Eddie Johnson was, police superintendent Eddie Johnson was asleep in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that's emerged lately is that he went out for dinner, and he was feeling tired, and he had a couple of drinks with dinner, and he's also on some new medication. He's had some issues with his blood pressure, I think, and his
had
heart.
A kidney replaced, right?
He did. So there may be some anti-rejection drugs, yeah. Think, but he had just recently had a change in medication, and he said that the combination of the alcohol and the change in medication had caused him to feel really drowsy. And he was close to home, but he... As we've been able to put this together, he pulled over kind of near a stop sign. He wasn't blocking the street, as we understand it. And the police were called, and they came, and they obviously they recognized who it was right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they drove him home, or else they followed him home, one or the other. But they did not give him a breathalyzer test, which is what they would do if this happened to just about anybody else. If you find somebody asleep at the wheel of the car that late at night, and you say, have you been drinking? And they say, I've had a couple of drinks at dinner. You'd give them a breathalyzer
test. Yeah, but they could refuse it, too.
They could refuse
it. Although then it's lose arrest. Their license, yeah.
And the police superintendent realistically can't do that. So the question becomes, he has now asked for an independent investigation of what happened, which is to his credit.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he's already kind of on thin ice. It was, you know, there was this story a couple of weeks ago, and it's sort of an old story, but the Inspector General's report came out, and it confirmed that he had been in the room with a bunch of top brass when they watched the Laquan McDonald video a couple of days after Laquan McDonald was shot by Jason Van Dyke back in 2014.
Yeah.
And he had been in the room when that happened. He didn't, you know, pound a shoe on the table and say, hey, this isn't right. Now, he was not superintendent at that point. He was, I think, a chief of patrol, maybe, something like that. He was high-ranking, but he was not the superintendent. And there's a lot of questions like, okay, look, you didn't notice from this video, you didn't look at that video and say, that was a bad shoot. We got to do something about this. He was among those who, I guess he didn't say anything, but he should have spoken up. And there was some criticism from some African-American aldermen and from people in the media like me who said that this was a failure on his part.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had a particularly violent weekend in Chicago this weekend, and we've had some success in policing, but there's a lot of criticism of him, and there's thought that Mayor Lightfoot would like to replace him.
But that was speculation before she even became mayor. A lot of people imagined that would be one of her first moves. Right?
So we need to see what happens with this, and I think it's really important that we keep an eye on this to find out what really did happen. So,
all right.
Thank you, Eric.
If you tell us to do that, Eric, we will do
that.
You
will do it. I want every day a little update.
All right. That's Eric Zorn. You can read him in the Chicago Tribune. You can hear him every Monday with us. And, of course, the Mincing Rascals podcast is second to none.
Second to first place, yeah.
Yep. The news is next. That's from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.